Let's read together Psalms 26 and 27, two more Psalms of David. In Psalm 26, we see David's integrity in life and his desire to be separate from sinners. And in Psalm 27, we see David's confidence in the Lord and his desire to be in communion with the Lord. Let's begin by reading Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 26. When we first read Psalm 26, it might seem like David is claiming perfection and that the Bible is teaching salvation by good works, but this is not so. David is not claiming that he lived the perfect life, but he is claiming that in this situation, where apparently some people were finding fault with David and accusing him of some wrongdoing, he was innocent. Now, we don't know the exact occasion of this psalm, but David is claiming his integrity and trust in the Lord in contrast to those who were deceitful and not innocent of wrongdoing in this situation. David is even willing to let himself be examined and tested by the Lord to prove his integrity. Verse 2, something we might be reluctant to do because sometimes we are not innocent of wrongdoing, and our integrity is in question. Our doctrinal point for Psalm 26 is the lives of believers should be characterized by integrity. The lives of believers should be characterized by integrity. As believers, we will never be sinless in this life, but we should sin less, and our integrity should never be in question. People should know us as honest and fair and ethical and righteous in our everyday living and dealings with people. We see from this psalm that if we claim a life of integrity, two things will characterize our lifestyle. Number one, separation from sin and sinners, verses 4 through 6 and verses 9 and 10. David made a determined effort to separate from sinners and their sin, and so should we. Washing your hands in innocence, verse 6, means taking definite action to separate from that which defiles, and a determination not to get mixed up in unrighteousness. David did not want to be associated with sinners, knowing that there was coming a day of judgment. Now, when we say separation from sin and sinners, we don't mean avoiding sinners to the point where we don't witness to them and share God's love with them and God's truth with them. But if we claim a life of integrity, we cannot participate in their unbiblical and ungodly ways and practices. And our closest friends and folks that we fellowship with will be those who love the Lord. And that brings us to our second item that will characterize our lifestyle if we claim a life of integrity. Not only separation from sin and sinners, but separation unto him and his people. Separation unto the Lord and his people. End of verse 6 through verse 8 and verse 12. Standing on level ground here in verse 12 would be the idea of a solid footing. We too can claim this if we separate from sin unto him. Let me ask you, do you love to go to church and be with the Lord's people? Notice how David loved to be in the Lord's house and praise the Lord. verses 7 and 8. And notice from verse 12 how David loved the fellowship of the Lord's people. The end of verse 12, in the congregations I will bless the Lord. No wonder David could claim a life of integrity. He practiced separation from sin and sinners, and he loved to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. The lives of believers should be characterized by integrity. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 26? Follow Psalm 26:3 for integrity. Follow Psalm 26:3 for integrity. Let's read it again, right? For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. We've seen that Psalm 26 is about David's claim of integrity. We've seen from the psalm that there are two things that characterize David's life and will characterize ours as well, if we would live a life of integrity that is pleasing to the Lord. Separation from sin and sinners, and separation unto the Lord and his people. And the key for making this happen in our lives is in verse 3. Verse 3 once again, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. In other words, keep your eyes on the Lord and obey his word. The more we realize the Lord's wonderful and gracious loving kindness towards us, and the more we know and believe the truth of his word and obey it, the more we will live a pleasing life of integrity before the Lord. So follow Psalm 26:3 for integrity. Let's continue by reading Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me when you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 27. Question: does a Christian ever need to pray verse 9? Verse 9 once again. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Answer: no. Remember, David was praying this in Old Testament times. All true Christians now have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, so we do not have to pray that the Lord would not abandon us. We must always read this psalm and the rest of the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. In Psalm 27, David expressed his confidence in the Lord in the midst of his adversaries. That brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 27. The lives of believers should be characterized by confidence. The lives of believers should be characterized by confidence. Throughout this psalm, we see David's courageous confidence in the Lord, even though he faced adversaries and false witnesses and violent opposition, and even though he experienced needs. Let's see the factors that went into making up David's courageous confidence, because we also face adversaries and experience needs in our lives. Notice right in the first three verses how David was looking to the Lord and not to himself. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. No wonder David was confident. What about us? Do we look to the Lord for light in the darkness of danger or anxiety? Verse 1. Do we look to the Lord for our defense and salvation in times of trial and persecution from evildoers and adversaries? Verses 2 and 3. Another key factor in David's confidence was his desire to worship the Lord and fellowship with the Lord in the Lord's house. Verses 4 through 6. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to me, your face, Lord, I will seek. We too will gain courageous confidence as believers if we desire to worship the Lord and make time to spend in communion with the Lord. The question is, do we? A third important factor that contributed to David's confidence was his sure hope in the sovereign plan of God for his life. Verses 13 and 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David knew that in spite of the problems and trials and disappointments and opposition going on in his life, God was in sovereign control. And David knew that somehow he would come to know and experience the goodness of God through it all. And so can we. But notice from verse 14 that David was willing to wait patiently and confidently on the Lord to see the results. And we are exhorted to wait on the Lord as well. The more we see the Lord's hand at work as we wait on him, maybe for long periods of time, the more confidence we gain. Illustration, for more than 30 years, we've waited on the Lord and seen him meet all the needs of growing Christian ministries. We now have great confidence that he can and will meet all the ongoing needs of the ministry. The lives of believers should be characterized by confidence. What about practical application from Psalm 27? What one thing would you ask of the Lord? What one thing would you ask of the Lord? Verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If you had one thing to ask of the Lord, would you have made the same choice as David? Or would you have asked for money, or long life, or no problems? David wanted to know and experience the presence of the Lord more. He desired close fellowship with the Lord more than anything else in his life. What about us? What one thing would you ask of the Lord?